your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are going to continue our general focus on commodities here as we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, I really just want to follow up on what we chatted about last segment with Dave Erfley and how he was outlining, well, really what we discussed is all the short-term pressure that is on the precious metals, especially gold. We had a false breakout. We had a waterfall decline 2 weeks ago. We have silver also leading lower. The majors are getting sold off. Doc, what are your thoughts in terms of following up on that conversation we just had with Dave Erfley that outlined some of the short-term weakness that could be here for gold? Are you seeing the same thing in the charts?
Absolutely. And I've not only seen short-term weakness, but I've been saying this thing's going to be weak for quite a while. And, you know, you have to remember the last 2 years we had relatively strong summers in gold. Well, this summer, I'm afraid it's not going to be that way. And I think we're going to continue to trade in a range. I think gold is forming a fairly long-term range. And the monthly Bollinger Bands are starting to form that already. And I think July, we might be down a little bit more. And the end of July, we might rally a little bit. But, yeah, I'm not real positive on the short term of this market. You know, I mentioned in the past 2011-12 when we saw a move down, it was like we were wandering in the desert for years. Well, that was back then that was a Sahara Desert. Well, right now we're in the Gobi Desert. It's not as big as the Sahara, but we're going to be in the desert for a while. But that's okay because, as I mentioned before, the strength indicators still really look good to me long term. And it's just that we've got to work the momentum down here for a while yet before we get a real bottom. And even though we may get a bottom, we may be in a trading range even after that for a while. But this isn't going to take as long for the next leg as the 2011-2012. But people are going to have to be patient here. And frankly, I've been starting to buy again on some stocks I like that have really are decent companies, but have been taken to the watershed.
So, Doc, let's dive into some of the companies because, as we said here, the miners, the major miners, have been leading the market lower. And the juniors, unless you're making a brand new, very high-grade discovery, a lot of these juniors also seem kind of stuck. There are still a couple of these high-flying juniors that seem to almost every week make another leg higher and hit some new highs. But broadly, the stocks are slow right now, and maybe that's just a barometer of the interest in the sector and more people maybe taking summer off because last summer they couldn't. But what are you seeing within some of the stocks and even down into some of the juniors, the lack of movement on the back of what seems like pretty solid news?
Well, take for instance, and I mentioned this off mic, take for instance Bonterra and Jaguar, which came out with really some decent results, but it didn't move their needles at all. That tells you right now about these markets that they're just, there's not the interest. And I own both Bonterra and Jaguar. That's okay if they come back because I've got them at really low prices and I'll be adding to those along with others that I like. But as I mentioned, I'm in no hurry. I keep slowly increasing my percentage over time. The fact that even with exploration news at this point in time, that these companies aren't being impacted as much. And I'm sure, as Shad mentioned, some of these smaller companies might that haven't been noticed at all. If they get good results, then they'll probably move. But the vast majority of these stocks are not moving at all on positive news. And that tells you that we're in a time frame that it's going to take a while. I might mention also something technically. We're right at the mid moving average of the monthly Bollinger Bands. We haven't closed a month below that. But if we do, if we close below that, and we do that a couple of months, well, that tells you that we're settling into a monthly range here that's going to last some time.
Well, Doc, do you think that, I mean, a lot of investors are skittish right now to do what you're doing and average down, which I'm doing the same as well myself, but they don't want to average down because they're worried it could be a longer term downtrend and maybe the bull market's over. Do you think a lot of the confusion with investors comes from they don't look at the monthly charts? They tend to hone in on the daily charts or the weekly charts. So their more myopic view of things is, hey, this looks pretty bad. And then when things turn back up, they get overexcited and they go in a little bit too hard when things have run too hard. Do you think that maybe some of the success you've had as an investor over all the decades is because you use the longer term charts to know when to position in companies? Or could you speak to us about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And I think you nailed that. You know, the daily chart, that's for day traders, and even the 1 hour chart, 2 hour charts, there's 4 hour charts. That's for day traders, and even people get excited on the weekly. But if you really want to watch trends of these markets, you have to go out in time, and the monthly chart is great for that. And that's what keeps me sane in these markets where I don't get overhyped on them. Is by watching those and being very patient and taking my time as far as purchasing things, because I like to position myself over time at prices that are really low. And then I'll wait because, frankly, Shad, if I can make 100% in 2 years, that's pretty darn good on some of these stocks, or even 200%. You know, I'm willing to wait even 3 or 4 years because what does the average investor usually make over time? But if you're patient, and I'm an investor, I'm not a trader. I look for these opportunities of contrarianism. And when everybody's very hyped, I stay out of the markets. And when people are really desperate and they moved away from sectors, that's when I start to get in. And it's really served me well over time. And that's what I'm doing with this one, because we have more time here to get into these markets. And we're going to be in this for a while yet. In fact, don't count on anything big for this year yet. I think by the first quarter of next year, we'll probably be done with the momentum that's moved down. I think then we bottom, and that's when you really get a chance to pick up some bargains.
Okay, and well, just to take the other side of the discussion here, because I do some short-term trading, and I know there's a lot of investors on our site and other sites that look at the daily and the weekly. You could argue that all of the turns in the market always happen on the lesser charts first. They start on the hourly, they move to the daily, they move to the weekly. So what would it take to change your thesis that maybe we are going to break out of this sooner? What would you want to see on the charts to tell you that, hey, you know what? We actually may have a rally into the fall this year. What would change your thesis?
What would really help is if on the MACD, if you started to see the 12-month moving average compromise the 26-month moving average. And if you see that, then the odds are good that we could just sit up here for a while for many months and just go higher. But I don't think that'll happen until we get a little lower with the MACD, because we've got to get lower. So the next move up is sustained for many months. Because if we do it now, it's going to be difficult to keep it elevated at those levels. And that's why, but that's what I would say that, wow, if the 12-month started to compromise the 26-month moving average, then we probably got a ball game that's really interesting, because I'll tell you, as I've talked in the past, the strength indicators are not exactly getting hammered here, which is good. It tells you there's ultimately underlying strength in this market that will benefit people in the future, and they won't have to wait as long as 2011 and 2012.
So, Doc, if you're not seeing a bounce here in the gold sector broadly and in stocks broadly, not this rising tide lifting all boats, when you are trading into a stock, or if you already hold a stock and it does pop for whatever reason on the back of good news, or just because, who knows, maybe some strategic investor got involved, Are you trimming those positions then because of your general outlook in the near term of not a big run coming in the sector?
Yeah, and what I've done in the past is whenever we've had runs like in gold, and now everybody's discouraged because they think we're going to have another one like we had in the past, I'll take profits, especially on some of the exploration plays, because especially the new ones that hit and everybody bids those things up by 400 to 500%, I'll usually sell out on those. And so over time, I continue to increase my portfolio size, but I'll keep a base of stocks that I like, that I don't want to get out of, and where they suddenly turn on me if I sell, and then I miss the really big move, which, by the way, I think is going to be the next move. I think the next time we move up, we're finally potentially going to have that parabolic move that everybody would love to see that we've seen in past precious metal markets. And I think the odds are pretty good on the next one that we really start to benefit from being patient. But that's what I do. I'll sell out on some stocks that haven't even gotten into development that have had a big move because of a big fine, because they generally come back again, I found.
So, Doc, final question then. In terms of looking outside of just the gold chart and gold stock charts, what's a key driver here for gold moving forward? We can look at the U.S. dollar, which has rebounded. Also look at the U.S. equity markets that continue to outperform the precious metals, and now a more risk-on trade happening there, which just further puts some pressure on precious metals. What's critical to look outside of that gold sphere?
Well, I think what precious metals are telling you probably right now is that for once the Fed may have gotten it right, that we might have a little transitory inflation here. And if we start to see inflation pulling back, then you can understand why this market has behaved like it has. So that's number one, because if we do have transitory inflation, I do think down the road we're going to get the real deal. But particularly, I think the U.S. dollar is still hovering, and I think it will hover for a while. But eventually, it's got to be depreciation of the dollar with inflation that's going to really move these markets. And I think that will happen. And the dollar chart to me, long-term chart, right now looks like we may move up in the dollar for a while. But it's not going to be a significant move. And I think after the next move, then we have a chance of coming back down and challenging that support area that's been there for now almost 7 years. And I think the next time around, we might have a good chance of breaking down the dollar.
All right, Doc. Great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show again. And, well, I guess really reiterating what we had to say and what Dave Erfley had to say in the prior segment, but also sharing that trading strategy that you have for getting into the sector when it is ignored or unloved, as it is kind of right now. Doc, thanks as always for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat again soon.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.